Well, I come back to this text, the 14th chapter of Genesis. The Lord's blessing me so good, I got three messages on my heart. Can't figure out where to start. The Lord sure is good to us. To see Brother Dockery tonight. That's been every bit of 10 years ago, probably. Come up and preach for him. And remember, you had a jeweler in somebody in your church, had a pawn shop or a jewelry store downtown. And they come down there and said, pick out you and your wife some jewelry. Amen. Still there? That's rare. That's rare for somebody to still be there a decade later. Amen. Yes, sir. Somebody's laying up treasure in another world. Amen. And Brother Keever and Sister Keever, isn't that a joy? We had Brother Keever preach back at the Redfield in September. So many of y'all came in July and to the youth meeting, and I'm so glad you did. And I can't have the meeting if y'all don't come. Now, you messed it up. Now you got to be there. So thank y'all for coming, and everybody come back that wants to, can. And in September, we honored our heritage and had Brother Keever preach there on Monday night. And I bless the Lord. Amen. Come out of that honoring our heritage meeting and preach men that have been preaching over 50 and 60 years, and men been serving God over half a century. And one of my pastors called me Sunday morning and said, I've been thinking about those men. He said, I listened carefully and watched closely on how to finish right. These men are showing us how to finish right. Amen. Not everybody chooses to go into sin. Amen. Not everybody chooses to compromise. Not everybody takes the bribe. Some men just take the cross. And my brother, pastor, a little 4 years older than me, and he said, I listened closely and watched carefully. And here's what I learned. He said, them old men of God that we honored all week long, the ones we honored and the ones that preached, and he said, none of them spoke of their accomplishments. He said, none of them mentioned their achievements. And he said, none of them mentioned their battles or their wounds. He said, they didn't talk about the good things they did, and they didn't talk about the bad things they suffered. Right. He said, none of them did. He said, all them men spoke of one thing. When it was their time behind the podium to say something, he said, every one of them spoke of Christ. Oh. They wasn't in it for the thrill. They wasn't in it for the deal. And they didn't run off when it came time for the kill. But they were in it because of a heel. That's what me and him came up with going down the road on the phone. They was a Hardy's biscuit that helped inspire that sermon, I guarantee you. Amen. I'd ride somewhere on Sunday morning and always get a Hardy's biscuit. And I eat it and it gets all over my church clothes. And that works out real good. If I get in a dead service, I just keep eating. There's a bit of an egg right there. A little sausage. You get bored in them religious churches. I make sure I got something to play with. Hardy's biscuits better than anything. My, my. Oh, the Lord's been good. Well, let me try to say something here. I've not studied this out to my satisfaction, but the Lord won't leave me alone. These thoughts are fresh. We've been coming to Genesis 14. Now, last night we looked at six battles. Six battles. In this first mention of war. Chapter 14, verse 2, these made war. And there's the first mention of war. And these first battles are picture of the final battles. And you and I are in a battle. Now, honey, you can make excuses to get out if you want to, but I want to die on the battlefield. I've been around long enough to hear the excuses. I think I've heard most of them. And these all with one consent began to make excuse. But way back yonder, I was 16. And Hinkle Little was walking over the benches and Ed Ballou was shouting on the platform. And I'd done met my Savior and I'd done met my sin. Amen. And I seen the scars. But I decided I wanted to die on the battlefield. I'm about to run is what I'm about to do. I smell any religion on you, I'm running over you first. I'd rather smell a skunk than smell religion. Amen. Amen. An old dead one bloated up in the middle of the road. I'd rather run over him and smell that than to smell religion. He's been too good to me. There's been far too much glory in the grace and for me to go to church with a bunch of people that think they're Roman Catholic Protestants. Sit there with cold ceremony and dead rituals. No, no. My joy is unspeakable and full of glory. I can't hang around with your Lutheran, amen, religion. Ain't going to do it. Never have. Not trying to be a smart aleck. I just never have. I've been popping happy bubbles from day one. Amen. And I ain't slowing down. I ain't slowing down now. Ain't enough things to slow me down. I ain't going to let you slow me down. Hallelujah to God. I'm enjoying myself. Praise the Lord. And we looked at these six battles. We saw last night that there's a battle in with the Sodomites. Study that when you go home. We've seen number two. There is an invasion from the east. We're dealing with that in this very hour. A godless paganism. We've seen number three that Israel was going to war. Honey, you ought to just get your cowbells out and ring them for the glory of God. Church over in Salisbury kept cowbells under their pews. Somebody come in there and preached out of Zechariah and they shall ring bells unto the Lord in that day saying, holiness unto the Lord. And every time they get on a little good, they'd start ringing them cowbells. I liked it. Hallelujah. Israel going to war. And when you shall see these things, lift up your head, lift up your eyes and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. Benjamin Netanyahu. I doubt they say Yahoo in the Hebrew. But I'm from Tunnel Hill. I say Yahoo if I want to. Addressing the UN last week. And sitting there calling out Iran. Knowing that she ain't got a friend left in the world. Israel don't. Used to have a friend in America, but she don't know more. Don't make me go there. 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 Honey, she ain't got a friend left in this world. But she's got a friend from another world. And no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I had to shake that happy bubble off right there. There's 10 minutes of extra preaching in it. Hallelujah! Israel going to war. I'll see that battle. I'll be part of that battle. I'll be wanting to get a lick in, but never am going to get a chance. I'll be on a white horse behind the Son of God. He'll be bigger than us. He'll be more beautiful than us. He'll be on a bigger horse than us. And when they roll back the skies like a scroll, the veil separating that third heaven from the second heaven. Honey, I'm going to want to get a lick in so bad I'm going to peek around the Son of God. See the unholy Trinity, beast, false prophet, antichrist, gathered against Jerusalem with the nations of the world. I'm going to try to throw a rock right before he opens his mouth, honey. I've got the timing down. When they roll that scroll back, out of his mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword. And honey, with it he'll smite the nations. But I got a thing time. When they roll that back, I'm flinging it. The curtain will still be going back. My rock will be in the air. I got a plan. I really got something in my soul. Deeply against Lucifer. What he's done to my Savior. How he's against my God. He tried to kill God's bride. Tried to kill my bride. No doubt. Tried to kill your bride. Tried to kill God's children. Tried to kill the church's seed. Tried to kill your seed. I've got a lot against him. He's for everything that God's against. He's against everything God's for. Some of you can't figure out what separation is. You're wrestling against man. Honey, you ain't never met God. You learn to wrestle against sin. When they roll out, I'm going to throw, I got my plan. I got a game plan. Israel's going to war. And in that fourth battle, there's a battle for the brethren that's been taken captive. Look with me in verse 14. I'm in chapter 14, verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, oh my, he armed his trained servants. Oh, every one of these phrases will preach. Born in his own house. I almost ran right there. I'm glad I've been born in his house. Born in his own house. Woo! 318. And pursued them unto Dan. I mean, every line's begging to be preached. We'll let him say a word just for a minute here. And when Abram heard, we need somebody that's got ears to hear. You can't hear when all you listen to is Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. You can't hear when all you listen to is church gossip and moaning and groaning and complaining. You can't hear when all you listen to is television and Hollywood. You can't hear when all you listen to is your own wisdom and the wisdom of man. We need somebody that's got ears to hear. The last day challenge? Is that not the last day challenge, Revelation 2 and 3? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's the challenge of the last day. And so, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, how'd that happen? His brother was taken captive. Well, honey, it was his own fault. I'm going to tell you something. We need to quit blaming. This generation that blames everybody. We've listened to Oprah and Dr. P. Heil until we believe them. We've listened to all these psychiatrists and psychologists. Amen. Sigmund Freud stayed high on cocaine for 30 years. Had several demonic breakdowns. Amen. And based all his... based all of his doctrine on Marxism. Yes, sir. Amen. Humanism and Darwinism. And that's what this outfit. Listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But these psychiatrists, you hear me well. They're not going to rest. Satan's not going to rest until this entire generation of Americans is hooked on something that is numbing their mind. And numbing them to the work of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, we can't break down. There ain't going to be no help until you do break down. You say, well, if you hit bottom, it's over. In the kingdom of God, when you hit bottom, it begins. Almost ran right there.
Honey, it don't start until you hit bottom. And when you get busted up until Humpty Dumpty can't put you back together again. Amen. Fell off a wall. All the king's horses and all the king's men. And when you get in a shape that nobody else can put you back together, you might get sick of yourself. You might get sick of your sin. You might actually holler out to God for help. You'll find out He can put you back together better than you was together before. He's able to do that. We gained much more in Christ than we ever lost in Adam. We were in Adam and we fell and shattered. And when God put us back together, it was in Christ. And that second work was a superior work. Amen. Hallelujah to God. His brother was taken captive. And honey, America's a generation of addictions. Addicts. And everybody's in bondage. Everybody's in bondage. Look at the number of that army. 318. 318. That's interesting to me. That's interesting to me that a crowd that little could whoop another crowd that big. He went down there and whipped five kings from the east with 318 servants. But you got to understand, them boys were armed. They were trained. Y'all ain't helping me. And they were born in his own house. Hey, something about being armed. Seemed like I read where the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. God don't even need our weapons. He's got his own. Amen. That, and listen, 318. 18 is the Bible number of bondage. You go look over and over again, 18 years. Read the book of Judges and how many times that 18 years they were in bondage. And in Luke, I think in Luke 14 or Luke 18, and said these 18 that were slain, the tire, they were in bondage. And in the same chapter, 18 years it said she was in bondage. You go study that for yourself. Look up 18. It's the number of bondage. And Lot was taken captive. And he was in bondage like this generation we live in. They're living in, they belong to Jesus, but have chose to live in Sodom. And they're taken captive by Satan at his own will. I like that 318. God had a bondage number to set him free. And I couldn't find anybody that caught, not Ed Vallow, not Bollinger, not three other men I studied behind. Nobody would comment on the number 300. But I seen another army of 300. I had to comment on it myself. I seen another army of 300. Gideon had 32,000. The Midianites were before him like grasshoppers in the field. They were so many you couldn't number them. A great host. And all he had was 32,000. And God said, that's just too many. I'm afraid you pat yourself on the back. And give yourself the glory. So we're going to whip these bunch of Midianites without an army and without armor. And without an arsenal. Amen. God got rid of Gideon's army. Got her down to 300. That knew how to kneel around the water. Y'all ain't helping me. He said the ones that kneel, the ones that lay down to drink, send them home. But the ones that kneel down will keep. Almost ran right there. Somebody ought to preach about 10 minutes like they're mad as a wet hen on this generation that's laid down. Amen. It ain't time to lay down. Amen. We've laid down. Amen. Eli sat down and laid down. He laid down on God. That's why his boys were living in sin. That's why his grandson had to be named Ichabod. Right. Wrote me a message today. It ain't on paper yet, but it's on preaching to Ichabod's children. We're beyond Ichabod. We're not Eli's generation. Eli sat down in the temple. There wasn't a chair in there. The priest's work was never done till Jesus sat down. Now, honey, when he said it was finished, it was finished. That's for all your holiness friends still trying to finish this thing. He's already finished it. Enter into that with a true heart and full assurance by faith. Eli sat down, and then his boys sinned in the very door of the house of God. And then his grandson was born in an hour when the glory had departed, and they named him Ichabod. Well, honey, we're so far gone, we're not Eli's generation. We're not the sons that sinned in the sanctuary generation. We're not even Ichabod. We're the children of those who were born in an hour when the glory's been gone a long time. I'm going to dig on that thing and say, what could you say to Ichabod's grandchildren? Somebody ought to tell them, go find the ark. Find the Philistine camp and blow the pudding up out of them. Kill all of them you can and get the ark back. Y'all ain't helping me. Somebody ought to go get the ark back. Abraham had to go get Lot and bring him back. And he did it with a little army, honey. 300 of them and 18. And so God told Gideon, said, go down there. Said, I'm going to take your army from you. God don't make things hard on his children. He makes them impossible. Because he likes to do it for you. He'll set it up where you can't do it for yourself. Woo! Your pastor alluded to that earlier in the evening. Honey, when you quit struggling and quit striving and throw up your hands in the air and holler calf rope and say, God, I can't. You'll hear him answer back, I know you couldn't, and I already did. Yeah. Get over here where you're supposed to be, because I already did. Amen. And he took Gideon's army. I thought I had some other thoughts here, but that's all. He took Gideon's army, got her down to 300 men that know how to kneel. Listen, I think y'all have adopted me around here. I may be presuming a little, but I've been known to just move in on somebody. Amen. They tell me when they invite me to make yourself at home, I'm going to. If anybody's going to feel uncomfortable, it's going to be you. I'm going to the fridge. You ask me in your house, I'm here. I'm going to the fridge. I'm taking my shoes off. I may scratch between my toes if I feel like it. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I leave my socks on. But honey, I got news for you. Y'all may have adopted me, I feel that, but I've adopted y'all, so like it or not, I'm here to stay. I've adopted y'all. It ain't cause you're kind to me. It ain't because he's good to me. It ain't because y'all have loved my family in the short time you've known them. I tell you, it's because y'all pray. I've been backslid 15 years, having to go to all these Baptist people's churches. That's the truth. Having to go to all these dead churches. I don't want to be backslid, but I had church for a decade where God let me pastor. All we did was pray. We tore up all the furniture. They was too scared to replace it. I smashed the pulpit, smashed the Lord's Supper, smashed the front pews, and smashed the altars. They was scared to replace it. Yes, sir. Bunch of idolaters. Just smashed it all. Smashed the offering plates one Sunday morning. Beat them for an hour shouting. Couldn't help myself. Beat them together like that. I was going outside the church beating them, 20 of my preacher boys laughing me. Amen. I was just banging them things. Bunch of idolaters. We ain't Roman Catholic. We ain't worship stuff in this building. We know better than to be irreverent. That ain't what I'm talking about. Sacrilegious, it sounds too much like sacrament. I'm probably against both of them. All I did was pray. I'm talking about 300 men know how to get on their knees. God put me in evangelism. I got in these brothers' churches and ain't nobody praying. They talk to each other. They talk about each other. They talk with each other. Honey, vain is the help of man. Man ain't got nothing for you. You ought to do what I done one time. They were giving up stuff on the altar, laying down TVs and cigarettes and all that. And I didn't have nothing to give up. I went in there and gave up my own thoughts and opinions. I laid my thoughts down on the right, laid my opinions on the left. God said, appreciate that. Them two things is more wicked than anything on here. They had given up dope. They had given up country music. They had given up, immodest apparel. They had given up, and I went down there and said, Lord, He said, you're full of yourself. Lay that out here. I gave up my own thoughts and opinions. I adopted several verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul, for I know nothing by myself. Romans chapter 8, you know not what we should pray for ourselves. Said the wisdom that cometh from below is out of hell. The wisdom from above is heavenly. They've given up all that wickedness and God had me give up my own thoughts and opinions. I never had any confidence in them anyhow. I just gave them up. Boy, that was a good day. Do you know it's mighty good to wake up in the morning and not have to figure nothing out? How's your day going to go however He wants it to go? What are you going to do today? Whatever He says do. What you going to do if your world falls apart? Trust Him. What's He going to do if He blesses you real good today? Thank Him. I'm not going to be blown away by trials. I'm not going to be caught away by treasures. Started the day with Him, going to end the day with Him. Ain't got to understand anything else. Job woke up one morning, honey, and he all had the world in his hands, in his lap. But that night when he laid down, honey, he didn't have his health, he didn't have his wealth, he didn't have his reputation, he didn't have his children, he didn't have nothing. Except what he started the day with. He went out to the ash heap where he had sacrificed before. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, but the Lord don't leaveth. He's still here. He was good when I had everything, and He'll be good when I ain't got nothing. He was God when He was pouring it on me, and He's God when He's taking it from me. And what I'm going to do, Job said, is I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. All we did was pray. And honey, you have no idea how refreshing to come into a place where you can lay your face down and call on your God. I go into some meeting some nights, I'm so empty, I'm so defeated, I'm so weak, and they never give you 10 seconds to even bow your head, much less bend your knee. Much less lay on an altar. Oh, honey, and they got all them programs and all them ideas and all this are going back and forth. Building their churches on the fear of men, the favor of men, the flavor of man. Oh, it's good to be somewhere where everybody knows that nobody deserves to be here. You can't worship until you get convinced of how wicked you are. You can't. You ain't going to. Until you can say, I'm a wretched worm and believe it so much that if you could find something else worse than that to say about yourself, you'd say it. You can't worship, honey, until you've seen yourself as the worst among us. Woo! There's 300 of them. God split them up at night with Gideon. God split them up. That 100 over here, 100 over there. He took their conventional weapons from them. No spears, no swords, no bows and arrows. No, he took the conventional weapons. Honey, the church, we do not fight with conventional weapons. He gave them one thing. He gave them some vessels that he was going to break. Amen. He gave them some trumpets they were going to blow. And he gave them some oil they were going to burn. And the God the Father said, I'll go with this bunch over here. God the Son said, I'll go with this bunch over here. God the Holy Ghost said, I'll stay with these boys. This crowd, I'm Baptist, who wants a pumpkin? God found a crowd who knew how to kneel around the water. Hold your Bible up in there, those of you that got it. Hold it up like you got it there, nephew. Amen. That's the water. They're lapping in that water. Putting their hand in and lapping up in that water. The water is the Word of God. Water is the Word of God. And they kneeled around that Word. You better carry your Bible into your prayer closet. Amen. All right, where y'all at? What are y'all doing? When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. Don't even know if I should go there tonight. He armed his trained servants. Armed. Honey, I got news for you. Ephesians 6. We do have an armor that we're to put on. Them boys had them blowing trumpets. Broken vessels. And burning lamps. And honey, we got a trumpet to blow. The Word of God. And God will let us win this thing with broken vessels. And there's a burning fire in them vessels, but you can't see it until you break that vessel. There's some oil and fire burning in you, child of God, but it ain't a coming out until God breaks you. He's got to break us. Genesis 32, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking. And that's where God wants. Oh my. He armed his trained servants. Born in his own house. Oh, there's somebody ought to do some preaching right there. Honey, Spurgeon said to his school of students, he said to all them preacher boys in chapter 1 of his lectures, see to it that ye yourselves are born again men. Before you enter the ministry. You say, I don't find that relevant in this hour. Surely all these people are saved that are saying they're saved. Honey, you better mark one thing down. This is an hour of deception. And it's a deception that has to do with your eternal soul. I went to a Bible college. I went to an independent fundamental Bible college. I went to one of them big colleges. And I got in trouble for it. I took a little old Sunday school class, and bringing in all them little children out of the ghetto downtown of the big city. It only took 4 Sundays. I got called into the dean's office of the president and the 3 big dogs and 2 other men. They said, you're messing up our numbers. I just looked at them. They said, we're getting 50 conversions a week. We're getting 50 professions a week that we put on our annual report and send it in to the Sword of the Lord paper. And they make the special page one day a year. Churches with over 600 baptisms. A bunch of little 5 and 6 year olds. and little black children out of the ghettos. And I'm telling you, those kids, most of them don't know their daddy and ain't sure if they're with their mama. And this was in the late 80s. And crack had hit the streets. Brother Keever, I stepped over pools of blood every Saturday morning. Them gang, them drug wars killed each other in them ghetto. And they only let repair men down in there and preacher men. You couldn't go down in that ghetto unless you was there to fix their appliances and their plumbing and their electricity. Or unless you was there with the Bible. And I tell you, I'd walk down there amongst them little children. And they'd done seen shootings and been up all night and crack was everywhere. And half of them was crack babies. And they couldn't sit still, honey. You know, about 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds with no attention span and no comprehension level yet. And they're telling me that 50 of them was getting saved every Sunday. And only had 250 kids in there. Same kids. They said, "You messed us up." And I said, "You messing me up." I said, "Let me tell you what I will do." And I wasn't a smart aleck. I was too scared. I didn't know what I was doing down there. I was going to get kicked out. This is my first year. I said, "I know what I will do. I will tell them little children that God had a son. He crawled up on Calvary's cross. And when he crawled up on that cross, he took them with him. I'm going to tell him he took all them with him. And he died for them. And he died as them. And I'm going to tell him he died so they wouldn't have to." He said, "Let me tell you what I ain't going to do. I ain't going to get 50 of them every Sunday and put them in a side room. I say a prayer that only I hear and only I pray. And get all them and run on and they bust them over real quick to the baptistry and 3 at a time dunk them and run them out." I said, "I tell you what I will do. If one of them comes to me and says, 'Brother Dean, who is this Jesus? Did he really die for me? Was that me you was talking about?'" I said, "I'll take that one. I'll get on my knees and help that one." And I said, "I'll listen while they call out." They said, "We're going to have to deal with you." I said, "Well, he'll have to deal with them. I ain't going to do it." I said, "I'll preach in their presence. But God." Amen. Yes, sir. Born in his own house. I need somebody that's got the goods on their birth. They know who they belong to. Know where they was born. Know when they was born. Know whose house they were born under. That same Bible college. Honey, I started a prayer meeting. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't even mean to. And got in trouble for it. Somehow they was going to the beach and drinking. And not even being corrected for it. But I was having church in the chapel. Where some great men of God stood. And I was getting in trouble for it. You better hear me, honey, about being born in the right house. I had a gospel singing my third year. And I told all them youngins that I was in school with. And I was one of them. I said, "If you want to sing, sign up at the door. And we'll call you up in that order." They had more show up for that than they had for their own meetings that they scheduled around there. And I just got to list. I'd say Shannon and Sharon and Sally. Y'all are first.
come up and sing. It's in one of them places that didn't believe in worship either. Next thing I know, the Holy Ghost blowed in there and kids is crying, testifying, snotting around. Had 12 preacher's kids get saved. And I nearly got kicked out for them getting saved. Their daddies was calling down there and said, "Now, we don't believe like that at our church, and I sent you a saved child down there. What are you doing that?" And I got in trouble because I was sitting up there moderating a singing and a prayer meeting. And Don, he fell over there, 19, preacher Don, and she went to ball and squall. Said, "I ain't never felt the Lord, but He's on me tonight. I need to get saved." And 12 more acted the same way, and we had revival. And the next night they came at a certain time, 10:30. Go to your room, every one of you. Shut her down, scolded me. Let me tell you something, honey. Our Southern Baptist churches put everybody in on a vacation Bible school cookie and Kool-Aid and told a bunch of six-year-olds they was saved. Our Independent Fundamentalist Baptist put a bunch of six-year-olds on a bus, gave them a bubble gum and a bicycle and told them they were saved. And I don't think nobody's saved. The ones giving out cookies and bubble gum and the ones a chewing. None of them was saved. Somebody better get around Jesus. Somebody better get around the power of God. I'm not against you having a vacation Bible school. It's a good idea. Just have a Bible and a preacher hanging around. There ain't nothing wrong with picking up youngins and bringing them to church. Ain't nothing wrong with giving them a hot dog or a bicycle. Just make sure that when they get to church, it's church. And somebody's weeping because they can't believe the Son of God actually took their place. And somebody's praying in the Holy Ghost. Born in His own house! How do we gotta be born again? You must be born again. You ain't going to separate that birth from that breeze. John 3, Jesus couldn't talk about the Spirit and He couldn't talk about the new birth without bringing up the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Nicodemus like, "Man, you got to help me." And he said, "Well, you feel that wind." Honey, I got news for you. I get real nervous when I can't feel a breeze. If there ain't no breeze, there ain't going to be no birth. And that brass serpent's the third thing. Somebody's got to show the man the need for his birth. That's the first thing in order in John 3. And then he had to talk about the work of the Spirit. That was that breeze. And then Jesus got to be lifted up. Get that brass serpent up there. And you make a mistake when the breeze starts blowing and you lift up the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to lift up the Holy Spirit. You lift up the Lord Jesus. Holy Ghost didn't come in here and breathe on us so we could talk about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost come in here and breathe on us so we can talk about Jesus. And get to the gospel. Get that brass serpent lifted up, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. And then you can say stuff like, "For God so loved the world." Y'all ain't helping me now. You can't talk about John 3:16 till you've talked about John 3:8. That man's got to be known that he's empty and dead on the inside. He's got to know he's got to be born again before you can talk about John 3:16. Then that breeze has got that Holy Ghost. "Thou hearest the sound thereof and knoweth not from whence it came or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You can't tell the source of it. You can't tell the force of it. And you can't tell the course of it. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. That's the source. And that's the course. And you don't know the force.
that wind blows and different forces, doesn't it? They said it's going to be a windy day today out there, and it was. You could feel it a little bit. I got news for you. Some of you, and if you don't pop a happy bubble right here, I'm going to find something. I'm throwing a pumpkin at you. And these ain't real. They're going to hurt. I just warn you. It's going to be on you. You better pop a happy bubble. Honey, I got news for you. Some of you, it took a tornado. And some of us, it was a subtle breeze. Didn't last longer than 3 seconds. It was a little... It was a little puff. I'm about to run what I'm about to do. You don't know the force of it. Some of you, God had to send a hurricane. And it stalled on the shore and camped in your yard for a week. He'll huff and he'll puff and he'll blow your house down. Some of you, it took a hurricane. Yes, sir. I lived down there in Florida and pastored down there in Florida. And after I'd resigned, went to evangelism, God told me to go in the swamps there again, have a meeting, had it for 6 or 7 years. And the first year, we had it, 4 hurricanes came through in 3 days. That may have been 04, somewhere around there. Y'all remember that? 4 hurricanes hit Florida. Number five of them did. 4 of them hit where I had 28 inches of rain in 1 week. And I was already putting the tent in a cedar swamp. It was already swamped and 28 inches of rain. And says I to the Lord, you did tell me to put a tent up in this swamp. 28 inches of rain in 1 week in the swamp. And hurricane forces. 4 of them. And number 5 was on the way. Can I tell y'all a story? I'll go back to John 3 in a minute. Can I tell you a story? Tim Deacon. Blonde hair so wavy, it waved like a California surfer. Tim Deegan, meteorologist for Jacksonville, Florida, had blonde hair that started in Arkansas and ended in the Ozarks. I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning. There's a man done been out there and pumped out that swamp. Kept a pumping. He'd have done, built it up and put in pipes and everything, pumped that right where we was going to put the tent. It is the only high spot and dry spot in 4 counties. That's another story how that feller come along and fixed it. He bought a $35,000 special little skid steer just to go in there. He said, we'll have to fix that to have this tent meeting. I said, you can fix a swamp? He said, I put in Amelia Island. I put in the Navy base. Out in the ocean. He said, I can fix this little swamp. I looked at God and said, wow. Shazam. I woke up 4 o'clock. On Saturday morning, we was going to set up the tent, and Tim Deegan said, he said, hurricane number 5 coming out of the Gulf. Going to tear across there below Tallahassee and come to Jacksonville. Be here all day Sunday, all day Monday, the hurricane number 5. Says I to God, you told me to put that tent up in that swamp, man. I was staying in a camper at a church. I walked over in the church. They gave me keys. Didn't have to. I'm a preacher's kid. I can break into any church in America. I was a pastor's kid raised in the parsonage.
I know where you keep the church bus candy. I know where the animal crackers are for the nursery. I'm not beyond drinking the grape juice for next month's communion. I've done that more than once. It ain't holy till it gets in your hand, so I'll drink it if I want to. I ain't into transubstantiation. I ain't no Roman Catholic. I will steal the grape juice if I can find it. Y'all buy another one. I'm a preacher's kid. We've earned the right to steal anything in here. We put up with y'all for generations. If we want to break in the church kitchen, we're going to. Anyway, they had me a key. Wasn't necessary, but I had me a key. And I went into Faith Baptist Church in McClintock, Florida. And I walked over in the corner. My heart was heavy and I was a little confused because I'd put so much into that meeting all year. And a man done drained the little swamp for me. I said, God, you fixed it once. Why are you going to let it tear up twice? And I was sitting in there and sat down in a corner, 4:30 a.m. Never will forget it. There was a sermon book in front of me, this pastor, one of the preachers I ordained. He had sermon books sitting under there. I picked up one, opened it up. It fell open to where Gideon put out that fleece. And God tried, kept it dry. It was wet all around. And I tell you, I opened the thing up and it's right there. I just picked up the book, opened it somewhere in the middle of the fridge, and it said, God kept the fleece dry. And I heard the ground all around was wet, but the fleece was kept dry. I said, oh my, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. I didn't care what he said. I was just amazed that he was talking to me. I got on my knees. I read it in the scriptures to God, Judges. And I don't even remember what he said that morning. He said, God, if thou be for us, why then is all this happening to us? And if thou be for us, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us of? That might be a good text to get into around here, wouldn't that? And I said, Lord, if you're God, you told me to put up a tent in the swamp. Why'd you let them hurricanes come? I figured Gideon whining, I was going to whine with him. And I said, God, if you're God, I can't give a rip snort what you did for Whitfield and Wesley and Edwards and Moot. Ain't none of them here. It's me and a hurricane. Where's the miracles that our fathers told us of? I said, help. I knew he was going to because he'd done that same thing. Sit in the ground was wet. But the flea, the sheepskin. It looked like a tent to me, that sheepskin. Was dry. It was 6 o'clock before I went back over to my little camper. Turned on old Tim Deegan. Could have cut his hair and the locks for hair. Wouldn't have never needed another man to grow long hair again. And here's what he is to say. And that little whirly thing. And he just kept bringing it below Tallahassee through Jackson. Just, if I could have reached through there and grabbed that head of hair, I'd have slapped him. But I walked back over there at 6 and turned on Tim Deegan. And I quote, you can believe me or not. I'm standing before God. He knows I'm not exaggerating or embellishing. I flipped it on. And I quote, the moment I flipped it on, Tim Deegan, there's been a shift in the wind. That's a quote. I never will forget. I got pastor friends in Biloxi, Mississippi. Alan Smith and Pat McNair. I never will forget. That thing turned. That was a little tending. There's been a shift in the wind. He said, nobody saw it coming. It's not been on our pattern at all. This ain't supposed to happen. And that thing
instead of going northeast, he said, it's now going northwest. He said, in the he said, in the last hour, all the winds shifted. And he said, it's going to go through New Orleans now.
I never will forget, I called Alan Smith and Pat McNair and three other fellows, and I said, and Stephen Crane. I said, sorry, boys, that'd be my fault.
I did. It smashed everything they had. I said, sorry, boys, that was on me. I said, I'll have to just apologize for that one. Prayed that one on you, boys. Should have got up at 5 and done your own praying. On a different time zone, and I got up before they did. Nanana boo boo. I did.
And there you sat one day, going to hell.
And somebody prayed. And there was a change in the wind. You should have went to hell. But God, somebody prayed. Somebody claimed a promise. Let me say that better. Somebody believed a promise. There was a shift in the wind. And it came to where you lived. Blowed you over. Sucked you in. Hurricane turned into a tornado and sucked you up in the heavenlies. And then some of us, I was laying on the ground praying with my men. I'm telling you, it's all we did in the 90s. And the old men were more interested than the young men, and the young men were real interested. But the young men even more, I mean the old men even more, that blew me away. Them gray-haired men was more hungry for God. It made the young men hungry for God. The young men in my midst got their thirst from the old men who were thirsty. And we was laid out there in the pine thicket getting ready for one of our meetings. And we laid up there in them pine needles, mosquitoes and spiders and snakes and everything else in them swamp, but we laid up there in that pine figure. One of my old South Georgia farmer deacons crawled over there. He crawled over there. He's a millionaire, multimillionaire. Got in a plane every Monday and sometimes 2 or 3 times a week, flew all over America, setting up the real estate for the Winn-Dixie grocery store. But he come into church and I told him, your money don't mean a thing to me. Get in here and I'll let you worship. I said, if you think you need chewing out, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat your apple pie and throw the pan out the window. I said, Mr. Man with money, you found a church where they ain't going to treat you no different. And he appreciated that somebody, everywhere he'd been. They catered to him. Scared of him. He couldn't ever worship because he's always after his money and always looked to him. I said, you found an old boy from Tunnel Hill. I said, I don't even know what money is. You can't impress. I ain't never seen none. I said, I ain't never needed none and we ain't going to let it mess us up now. I said, now get right and get with it. He just cried. He cried the whole decade. Worship better than anybody in the business. He crawled over there in that pine thicket. Dispute was his last name. He elbowed me. I said, what is it, Joe? He pointed up. We was laying in pines. He said, do you see that? I said, help me. I don't see nothing. He said, don't you see that? I said, no. He said, there ain't a pine tree moving out here, are they? I said, no. He said, no, all but that one. And there was one tree. And one breeze. I never will forget. We looked at it 10 minutes, and he squalled. And that old man taught me something. He said, "Son, the Holy." He said, "My daddy showed me that when I was a boy. You can get out there when there ain't no breeze blowing, but there'll be a little breeze somewhere blowing one tree." He said, "There ain't a tree in here affected, but that one is caught a breeze." Some of y'all, it was a hurricane blowed your whole county over just to get you saved, but some of you, there wasn't even no movement happening around you, but the Holy Ghost just came to you that night. Came just to you. And he just did. He said, nobody around you was moving and you were going. I remember the night the Holy Ghost got on my little bride. I was still in Bible college when I started pastoring. I wasn't married. I'd wait God, and I never prayed for a wife. The only thing I ever prayed for one in my life. Never prayed about it, never prayed for it. Because he came to me before I had a chance, the Holy Ghost did, and said, "You're Boaz, just sit here and wait on Ruth. She's going to be, I'm going to bring her to the corner of your field." And so I didn't pray, I just waited. And honey, one night, one Sunday morning, our church back door opened. And there's a girl come to our church, married a boy in our church, who's, and his family was in the church. And then she had a sister going to Lake City Community College, working at the Walmart. Walked in the back door, raised, had godly grandparents, but ungodly parents. Never been around church. Walked in the back door and sat down in the corner. The Holy Ghost said, "That's her." That's like a bird dog on point, honey. For a month, I gave every church announcement to her. Saturday's a work day. Men are praying Saturday night. Going over next Thursday. Everybody, y'all be here. I read every text looking in that corner. Take your Bible. Bibles. Bibles. Take your Bible. Turn to Matthew. I preached every method looking at her. She come 4 Sundays. Lost. On the 5th Sunday, she told Walmart she wasn't coming. Called in and said, "I ain't coming to work." And they said, "You're coming in or you're fired." She said, "Do whatever you got to. I'm going back to church tonight." She walked in that night and sat right over there. An old faithful preacher in a wheelchair come by that night, our friend down in Middle Florida, Mel Davidson. He come by with his family. They just dropped in. I had his daughter Nancy sing, and she was up there singing. She had the Holy Ghost on her. She sang, "I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pierced gold. I want to run through the fields of sweet clover. Hear the singing, smell the flowers. Angel something, it's all ours. I want us to be." I got in on a church song that was kind of like a love song. That could be church song / love song. Just depends on who's singing it. "I want us," and Jennifer, that little breeze blowed. I'm telling you, God done told me that's her. She's the one. That didn't make no sense. Nobody knew nothing about it. And her head went to bobbing. 4 Sunday mornings in a row, she sat in that corner. Ruth was in the corner. Had on a black dress with white, big white polka dots. First time she come in, shazam. I'm not into same-sex marriage. I'm into opposite-sex marriage.
black dress, white polka dots for a month. Then that fifth, five's number of grace, ain't it? That fifth son, she came back at night. And she moved up in the middle and sat by Janet Norman. Aren't you glad for church mothers and prayer warriors? People who ain't quit. When nothing's happening, they just won't quit. Nancy Davidson was singing. The breeze blowed on Jennifer. Her little head, there we be. I thought of a cork bobbing up and down in the pond when you got a catfish on it. She's doing like it. Squalor. She leaned over to whisper something to Janet. Janet whispered something to her. They both stood up. Here they come. She hit that altar right there and she got saved. She ain't never been in church, never been around old time religion. She shouted 20 solid minutes. I busted my father's ring and gave me a ring with a black stone. At some point, I shouted for 2 hours. And my men with me. And at some point in time, I hit the pulpit so hard, it smacked right there, broke in half. The ring smashed in half. I ripped my belt buckle off, caught it on something running around the church. It caught right there and whamma! And tore 2 loops in the belt. It was little like his. True story. Hey, Ryan, I kicked a heel off my cowboy boot. True story. So my left heel, and it is a good pair of boots, quality, and the heel was slam gone. And I was like this. True story. Seth, I had on a split tail coat and I ripped it from here to the right there. I like at one point in time was holding and shout and what and it's just whoosh. I can call in eyewitnesses and they'll tell you every bit of that's the exact truth. I shouted to her. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She is as unsuspecting as John the Baptist in the womb. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She shouted with the same hot liquid love running through her that ran through me the night I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he filled me again that night. We shouted together and we started on an altar. I gave her a Bible and baptized her and told her I was in love with her badly. He'd been dating a baseball pitcher, a star pitcher. I said, I take a baseball bat, I break everything. He said, that ain't preacher talk. I was going to bust the man. I don't care what a preacher does. I wasn't trying to be a preacher. I was going to knock every tooth he had out. Should have been a football player if he didn't want me to whoop him. That breeze. I'll never forget her. She's a doing that. I can see her right now. That beautiful head, the sandy blonde curls. She had it curled in. She had one of them 80s hairdos. She had the big hair. So I'm still 4. I mean, everybody's went straight, but she has, y'all have. I can't do nothing about it. I like the big hair. Let's celebrate. I mean, this is glory. Amen. What y'all gonna be hanging down for? Yeah. It'll be hang around. It'll come back in 5 years. She had the big hair. Never will forget that hair. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I don't care if it was a little breeze that hit just you. Or if it was a hurricane that saved 3,000 in one night. May have been a hurricane, may have been a 3-month revival where you and everybody you know got saved. Or it could have been just one night where nothing was happening. And your little tree was going like this. Well, we just got hung up in one verse there, didn't we? Oh. Our musicians come tonight. I don't know what y'all need to do. Wouldn't hurt to thank him.
Wouldn't hurt a bunch of you to thank him. Wouldn't hurt some of you to ask him. Maybe a hurricane headed to your house. You might want to ask him. He can change it.
Everybody stand. Make it easy for people to move.
Some of you need to come and thank him. Some of you need to come and call on him.